Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF Kyle High with you this morning. We hope you are having a fantastic day outside. Currently 31 degrees, expecting a high of 60 degrees today. And joining us in studio this morning from the K-State Extension Wildcat District, we have Holly Miner with us. And Holly, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
I'm doing pretty good. Good to have you in studio this morning. You'll be talking about obviously talking about health and the new year, but you do have a few events or classes coming up here pretty soon, correct?
We do. We have a few things coming up that I think will be of interest to people. There's a Stay Strong, Stay Healthy class, which is an exercise class that uses weight-bearing exercises and also balance exercises. That will be starting in Girard here in January. You can call our Wildcat Extension District office in Girard to find out more information about that. I believe that starts around the 20th of January. That is a 2-day-a-week class, and Tara and Julie will be leading those classes. So that's a great thing. You know, we're all excited about getting started for the new year with our exercise programs, and so that's a great way to start out the new year. We also have a Serve Safe, which is a food safety class for food handlers, which will be January 25th in Independence. And you can give me a call in the Independence office at 620-331-2690 to find out more about that class. And then there's also a Serve Safe Food Managers class, which will be January 31st and February 7th in the afternoon. Those classes will be held in Parsons. And again, you can call me about those. The registration for that class is this Friday, so give me a call this week to get signed up for those. That's for people who are managing food service establishments and want to make sure that their workers and employees and themselves are handling food in a safe way to make sure that it's served to the people that are patronizing their businesses or their establishments. It could be for school food service workers. It could be for people that are running concession stands or do volunteer work as well. And then one of the things that I'm most excited about right at this time is that the Wildcat Extension District is hiring an expanded food and nutrition education program nutrition assistant in the Wildcat District. And there are 4 positions open for that right now. Those positions will be in each one of our counties. So those applications are available online. And you can also check that out on the Wildcat Extension District Facebook page, or you can go to KSU Jobs and look for the job that says Wildcat District behind it. And the requirements for that job is just a high school diploma, and you need to be able to have a driver's license to be able to drive. You apply for those online, and the salary is $11.56 to $14 an hour. So those are pretty good paying jobs. And Catherine Pinto is our expanded food nutrition education and supplemental nutrition assistance program agent. And she is super excited to be able to hire some positions to help her out with that program.
Absolutely. So again, that, like you said, it's a pretty good paying position. So, well, let's go ahead and get started with your main topic today. And you're talking about health and the new year, correct?
Right. You know, the new year's here, and a lot of people have new year's resolutions of getting healthier in the new year, which is a great resolution to have. And the Dietary Guidelines for Americans came out this year. Is a new guide. Every 5 years they come out with a new guide, and this year they are talking about consuming a healthy eating pattern. You know, we talk about my plate and eating so many servings of different foods, but they're really focusing on having a healthy eating pattern. And then along with that, we want to make sure that we are getting regular physical activity. And so those two things, every person, no matter what age you are, need to have those two things to have a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you know, a lot of people start the new year trying to get going with that. So what are maybe a few of the things that folks can do to kind of get started with that? You know, I mean, a lot of people want to start in, jump in both feet first and go hardcore first, but is it better to kind of do that way, or is it better to kind of gradually ease into it?
So it depends on your where you're at right now physically. The recommendation is that all adults need at least 150 minutes a week a physical activity. And that could be moderate to intense physical activity. And they should perform some kind of muscle strengthening exercises on 2 or more days a week. And youth ages 6 to 17 need to have at least 60 minutes per day of muscle strengthening, aerobic, or bone strengthening activities. So those are the guidelines.
Yeah, the NFL has that program where it's called Play 60. And what it is, it's encouraging kids to get out at least once a day and play. You know, even it doesn't matter, just kind of just run around or something. Get outside and play for at least 60 minutes every day.
That's right. We want kids to be active. You know, we joke about when our parents were in school that they walked uphill in a snowstorm both ways to school and home again. And we joke about that, but the key factor in that is that they walked. Mm-hmm. And it can be something as simple as walking. It can be running. It can be playing a game of catch with your child out in the yard. It can be, playing a pickup game of ball. Whatever it is, you know, just do some kind of physical activity where your children are active, again, for that 60 minutes a day. And then remember ourselves, too. We need to get out and get that exercise as well. Walking a dog is a great way to do that also. And it's good for the dog and it's good for you, and you both feel better when you get back to the house.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, like you said, it's good for yourself, good for the dog, because the doggos need exercise too, or they could get chunky as well. So that it helps them out as well. Plus, getting them out of the yard, that's always something dogs like, to be able to kind of explore the area
right.
With their humans. So what are some other tips that we have for health in the new year?
So, you know, you'd think 150 minutes in a week, that's about 30 minutes a day. And you think, well, I don't have time to go do 30 minutes of exercise a day. That's okay. Well, you can do it in smaller increments. So say that you have a break for 15 minutes. You can go walk around the building for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and that can be your break during the morning. And then you can do the same thing in the afternoon. If you walk to work, if you have that ability to be able to walk to work, if you live close enough that you can do that, that's another good option. But we don't have to have all of that activity be in one setting, I guess is the point I'm trying to make, is break it up into smaller pieces so it's more manageable. And like you said, start out small so that you can see your progress, and that way your muscles and your body will get used to that exercise too if you haven't been doing it for a while. A lot of people start out really strong and then they're sore for quite a while after they get going. So we want to make sure that your body is adjusting to it and that you're able to see the progress that you're making. What we're doing is we're making a lifestyle change. So we want to make sure that that's something that we can maintain and continue to do and enjoy doing. So that's the focus that we're trying to get to.
Yeah, it's when you first start exercising, you're always going to, after that first exercise, the next day you're probably going to be sore. But that's not exactly a bad thing. It just means you're sore because those muscles haven't been used in that way in quite a while, and it's just trying to adjust to it, correct?
Right. And when we do start exercising, we want to make sure we drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
Our body dehydrates, and in the wintertime, it's easy to think, well, I'm not thirsty, I don't need to drink anything. But we're still using that moisture out of our body, and we need to rehydrate. And especially when we're exercising, that helps. We're using those muscles, and they're giving off toxins as we use them. And so drinking lots of water will help wash that out of our system. So we want to make sure we're drinking lots of water to rehydrate and then get rid of those toxins that we're using.
Yeah, in the summer when people are doing outdoor activities, people usually drink a lot of water to keep themselves hydrated. But you can get dehydrated just as quick in the winter because of that cold air, because your body's working to kind of keep itself hydrated. But say you're running outside in the winter, you're just as likely to get dehydrated then as you would in the summer, correct?
Yeah, it's actually a lot of people get dehydrated more in the wintertime because they don't think they need to have that water. But it is just important to drink those 8 glasses of water every day, no matter what time of year it is.
Yeah, and even if you don't feel that you're thirsty, drink some anyway. Your body will thank you later, for sure on that. Again, we're talking about health in the new year with Holly Miner from the Waukat Extension District up in Independence, and talking about basically how you can kind of work yourself in to make yourself a little bit healthier. So do you have a few more tips for us?
I don't really have any more tips for you, but I will again address that the Stay Strong, Stay Healthy class, that's a great program provided by the Wildcat Extension District staff, and that will help meet some of those exercise needs. Those classes start out kind of slow, and then they build up. They are strengthening exercises and balance exercises. They're geared towards people that are middle age to older, and so they're great classes for people to participate in. And again, contact the Wildcat Extension office in Girard to find out more about those classes.
All right, that is a good class. Be sure to get a hold of them if you would like to sign up for that class. So it's going to be a really good one, and it'll help you out, like she says, kind of get you started at the ground floor and just kind of work your way up. I've done the exercise before where the next day after my first exercise, I was just sore as could be. And all I did was walk. But the thing about it is, that's, again, it's not a total bad thing. It just means those muscles are getting used that they haven't been used in a while. And your body will eventually get used to it as well with all that. So, Holly, again, if anybody does have any questions, though, about any of those classes or maybe what you've talked about today, how can they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 620-331-2690 at the Independence office.
All right. Well, Holly, again, some great information there for you. And thank you so much for coming in today. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again next time.
All right. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to go ahead and take a break. James Coover will be coming up on the other side of the break. He'll be talking about soybeans and a few other things. So keep it locked here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Wednesday morning here in Southeast Kansas and Northeast Oklahoma. And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. And now joining us on the phone, we have James Coover with us this morning. And James, good morning. How are you doing today, sir? Let's try that again. James, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing today, man?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, it's good to have you on the phone today, and we'll be talking about your main subject here in just a few moments. But first, you do have a few events and other things to talk about, programs coming up, correct?
Yeah. First of all, sorry I'm not there in person today. My little dude was exposed to COVID, and him and my mom, his mom, are not feeling too well.
So, right.
I knew the possibility there. I just didn't want to come in the studio.
Exactly. No. We're glad that you did that. And hopefully they'll get to feeling better pretty soon. Again, I've had it myself. It's no fun. So hopefully.
It's all over the place right now.
Yes.
So, anyway, we got a lot of programs coming up. So this is just, we are right in the middle of school season and when it comes to extension stuff. So I guess the first thing, we can kind of go in order, really, of timing. And the first thing I have coming up is the Grain Marketing Workshop that's going to be in Erie. And that's literally this Monday. And so this coming Monday, January 17th, in Erie at the new community center that they've built there. And we'll start at 9:30, get done about 2:30, and it's going to be an intense workshop of, cost production, marketed strategies, basically enterprise planting. And so that talks about calls, puts, options, market planning. All that stuff will be encompassed within this workshop. So it is something that every crop farmer needs to know. And it's one of the least understood parts because it's all about economics and understanding the markets. So January 17th in Erie at 9:30, please let us know soon so that way we can get some planning because it's not very far away. So,
all right. So go ahead.
The next one is the Corn School. And that will be in Parsons on January the 18th, so not very far after that, begins the corn school. And we'll actually have a soybean school on February 1st in Parsons. So we got two schools there, one for corn and one for soybeans. Corn is on the 18th, and then soybeans will be on February 1st. So, you know, we're kind of lucky to have the Southeast Center there here. So, you know, it's somewhat close by, so that way all the schools can be held there. And, you know, those are things that you don't want to miss. In the soybean school, we're going to talk about fertility and crop production and diseases, and that's why my topic today is on soybeans, to kind of, you know, bring up all the things with soybeans in preparation for the school. Another one is a couple of days after that, we have the State Lines Crop Conference, and that'll be in Lamar on February 3rd. That's Lamar, Missouri. So right across the border, we like to move that one back and forth across the state line between us and Missouri. There we're going to talk about fertilizer prices, technology. I'll actually be speaking at that one. So I'm going to be one of the presenters at that one. I don't do that very often. So hopefully I'll be talking with the PhDs and I'll do okay in that line. And then just a week after that, we'll have the Profitable Soil Health. And I'll be in McCune on February the 8th. And we're going to talk about cover crops, how to use them. A lot of it will actually be about how to reduce your chemical cost, like fertilizer and herbicides, while using cover crops and improving soil health. So, you know, we're actually got some big names coming in for that one on February 8th in McCune. So, yeah, we just got a lot of stuff coming up. So.
All right. So that's good, though. I mean, getting out and getting out and about and lots of great classes. People can learn a lot of stuff about what those classes are about. So that's definitely a good thing, though, as we try to get out and about these days. All right. Well, James, your main subject today is talking about soybeans. And it's kind of a big crop here in Southeast Kansas. So tell us a little about soybean production here in the SEK.
Yeah, so soybeans is, of course, a huge crop here in Southeast Kansas and a large part of most of Eastern Kansas, really, in the entire area. And so, I mean, pretty much every farmer had soybeans somewhere in their rotation. I don't know any farmers that don't use soybeans. And so in 2020, Montgomery planted 70,000 acres. Montgomery County planted 70,000 acres of soybeans, which came to 2.8 million bushels. And so, you know, that's a lot of bushels. I mean, you know, Labette, for instance, that's 81,000 acres with 2.9 million bushels. Wilson County, 80,000 acres and 2.3 million bushels. And so, you know, Southeast Kansas, and pretty much, you know, Neosho, Cherokee, Crawford, they all have similar numbers. Soybeans is a huge crop here in Southeast Kansas, and it's, you know, during the summer, certain times, most fields are going to be planted to soybeans, the ones that aren't in corn yet. So, you know, considering Montgomery is around 60% crop ground, I mean, soybeans is a major producer in Kansas. And, you know, there's a reason why they're bringing that crushing plant to Cherryville. You know, at least the plans are down and they've gotten everything has started with that. I mean, there's a reason for it. It's because we're a huge supplier of soybeans, and a large part of it we have to actually ship out. So that crushing plant is going to take up a lot of that crop that we grow so much of.
And the good news also with that, it's going to add some jobs to the area as well, which is definitely very needed. But again, that was a huge get for Montgomery County, getting that plant built right there, and at a great intersection as well, where they just redid that that intersection where 160 intersects with 169. It's going to be a huge economic boost here for this area, will it not?
Yeah, I look forward to working with them. You know, I don't know who's. I mean, I know the company, but I don't know any contacts yet. Mm-hmm. But I look forward to working with them in the future and seeing that progress.
Absolutely. And again, good thing here for the county. So what are a few cool facts about soybeans?
Yeah, so soybeans, they're different than the cereal crops that we grow. I mean, they're not a cereal crop, they're an oil crop. And then soybeans are actually 18% soybean oil. And so, you know, you look at the bean, it seems odd that, you know, there's a way that you can crush it and heat it, and literally you get oil out of it. And so it's actually, I mean, in the grocery store, it's called vegetable oil, which is odd because it's nothing to do with vegetables, but, you know, I'm not sure where that name came about, but, you know, people use soybean oil literally every day. It's in almost all of our food products in some form. If it's not soybean oil, it's canola oil, which is another crop that we grow here in Kansas, not this part of Kansas, but another part. So, you know, we use a lot of it here. Soybeans are also 38% protein. And so, you know, that oil is a huge percentage, but so is protein is a huge percentage. At 38%, that's far more than any other grain that we grow. Because the cereal grains, wheat, corn, milo, I mean, that doesn't even come close in that protein percentage. So it's a completely different crop. It's very energy intensive to grow, for that plant to grow this protein and the oil. And so, you know, that's why our bushels for soybeans is 40 to 50 in a good crop, while in corn it's, almost, I don't know, 160 to 170. I mean, there's a reason why the yield is so much lower, because the energy intensity is so much higher, which is another reason why we like to export soybeans, because it's a lot more energy compact than a small little thing. Soybeans actually fix their own nitrogen. So we don't put any nitrogen down on soybeans. They have their own, basically, it's a symbiotic relationship with a certain bacteria, rhizobia, within the soil. And so it's a completely different level of inputs when it comes to soybeans. And, you know, since our nitrogen's synthetically made and all of that, soybeans, they don't have to deal with that. So it's actually, in soybean oil, we can use it for a number of things, but not all of those things are food-related. With a little bit of processing, we can actually turn that stuff into biodiesel. It's not really done because it's not economical so much, but it is a possibility. I mean, how close those two things are. But we use soil products in literally carpets, in roads, in candles, the insulation in your house, the shoes in your feet, you know, cleaning products. Bioplastics, which is a lot of the plastics we use are actually bioplastics. And then it's just a lot of other stuff. And so most of the things, I don't say most of the things, but a large percentage of the things in your house have a soybean background. And most of the things that are in your kitchen also have a soybean background. So it's a very important crop. I mean, it really does rival corn in many ways, and probably beat corn in its number of uses. Honestly.
And yeah, so it just seems like it's unrivaled. Again, it just, so many things go with it. Again, like you said, you get oil out of it, which is called vegetable oil in the grocery shelves, but then again, it's got a ton of protein in it. It's an extremely versatile crop, is it not?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, its growth pattern is versatile too. And so we take advantage of that all the time, because unlike corn, which has a very, and wheat, which has a very specific flowering and, you know, reproductive period, soybeans have a very long reproductive period. I mean, a couple of months long. And so it's able to take some environmental constraints better, just because, you know, if it gets dry during one part, it still has the rest of it, if it's growing and flowering and reproducing season, to make more soybeans. So it's an impressive crop. It really does do an crazy amount of things to compensate for its abilities. And the fact that it can grow such an energy-intensive product in the way that it does, I mean, you know, in parts of amazement, honestly, soybeans, yeah, it has my vote, so...
All right. So again, those are some pretty cool facts about soybeans. However, there are some issues with soybeans, and we'll start off with that with fertility.
Yeah. So soybeans, you know, they have issues just like any other crop does. Soybeans, it might have some more issues in certain ways, but it, you know, for fertility, for instance, it's pretty sensitive to acidic pH soils, which, of course, is very common here in southeast Kansas. We have acidic soils here. So we got to be careful. We got to do a lot of soil sampling and know what the pH of our soils are. Because, I mean, getting those deficiencies of potassium and phosphorus is very common here, and which is two of the main elements that it needs. And so we got to be careful. It actually also uses incredibly quantities of sulfur, which is odd because you can't add sulfur. It doesn't respond very well to circle fertilizer, but it needs huge quantities of sulfur. So, you know, that there's some pieces, even though it creates its own nitrogen, it has drawbacks when it comes to other parts of the fertility. And it uses a lot of nutrients within the soil just because it's a huge quantity of protein and all that oil. It uses a lot from the soil. So, you know, and it's not always easy to fertilize soybeans sometimes just because a lot of our soybeans are double cropped. I mean, we put soybeans no-tilled in right after the wheat comes off because we can get away with that in our growing season. And so sometimes it's kind of hard to fertilize them at the right time, and sometimes they don't respond as well to certain fertilizers, but we can see deficiencies. So fertility is very important when it comes to soybeans.
That's definitely a big deal where you plant, but also soybeans, you have to watch out about insects because they really like soybeans, do they not?
Soybeans are delicious, and you know, deer love them, insects love them. I mean, it's a really good crop for pretty much anything out there, honestly. And so with the insects, we've got bean leaf beetles, we have spider mites, stink bugs, pod worms. I mean, you know, sometimes even grasshoppers, and there's so many little insects out there. It's also the timing, honestly. Because we plant soybeans, they're a late summer crop, all those insects have had time to build up. And then by the time, you know, the soybeans come about and start growing, then there's huge insect issues sometimes, and there's outbreaks there can be in soybeans. And so fortunately, though, soybeans in their awesomeness, they overcompensate for the amount of leaf area they need by far than any other crop. And so, you know, they can still produce a good yield, as much yield as they would with a full leaf cover, even though 20 to 30% of their leaf area is gone from insects. And so they overcompensate by that much that, you know, their yield isn't going to be damaged. So the way that we treat insects in soybeans is different as well. We expect some amount of insects out there. It's just the way that it is. But unless it's really damaging that crop, it's just eating some of the leaves, we don't worry about it because the soybeans are going to compensate for it. And so another part with being a late summer crop is also disease issues are sometimes worse as well because, you know, we've had a lot of, depending on the year, I mean, if we've got a lot of warm, wet weather, the diseases have time to kind of build up. And also, you know, it's over a time period when it's fairly warm soil. And so there can be some issues like charcoal rot, which is actually more common in dry years than wet ones, downy mildew, which is quite honestly, I mean, it's like mildew in your house. It loves warm, wet weather. We also have a lot of Philadelphia rot. I'd say that's probably, of all the state, this is the area most subjective to Philadelphia rot and stem rot. I see it in a lot of fields. I would say most fields, honestly, have some spots of this disease. And, you know, for the most part, it's not an issue because it's over small areas. But there can be cases where I've seen Philadelphia rot cover huge areas of a field. And it's actually a zoonotic fungus that swims around in the soil, which loves our wet weather. So, you know, there's a reason. And it's hard with some of the soybean diseases because so many of them are hidden. With corn diseases, they're kind of easy to see because they're up high on the plant. With soybean diseases, they're hidden within the plant. So the issues with diseases are harder to see with soybeans.
And also I was just going to bring up real quick, the other thing you got to kind of watch out for are weeds in the area.
Yeah, which is another thing about being a late summer crop. Weeds are a huge issue. And, you know, every farmer knows, we're always fighting weeds in soybeans. Pigweed, water hemp, basically things in the amaranth family, a huge issue. Mare's tail is another one that's a huge issue around here. And so we're always talking about new chemicals and new genetics when it comes to weeds and soybeans. And all of this stuff is going to be covered in that soybean school on February 1st. So, you know, it's an impressive crop, but also has a large quantity of issues, in all of which, you know, we're going to cover that stuff in the soybean school.
All right. So, again, lots of great facts there about soybeans this morning, James. And, again, you do have that class coming up. And for those that may have missed it, can you go ahead and give the details to that one more time?
Yeah. So the soybean school, it'll be on February 1st. We're going to do this one in the kind of afternoon evening from 3:30 to 6:30. And it'll be at the Southeast Extension Research Center in Parsons. And so cover soil fertility, crop production, diseases, and talk a little about the Southeast Center, too. So, you know, please let me know if you're interested in coming to that and get signed up.
All right. Well, James, again, thank you so much for coming on today. Once again, if anybody has any questions about soybeans, how can they get a hold of you?
They can call me at the Girard office. The number there is 620-724-8233. Or really call any office within the Wildcat District.
All right, James. Again, I hope you. I hope your family gets to feeling better after this exposure, unfortunately. But again, we hope you guys get to feeling better, and we will hope to see you again here in a few weeks.
Yeah, that sounds good. Hope to see you in person next time.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot, James. Again, you have a great day, sir.
You do. Thank you.
All right. That is James Coover from the Wildcat Extension District this morning talking about soybeans. Lots of cool facts about it. And we will have that interview up on our website here in just a bit. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, it'll be time for Open Line. So keep it locked here on the mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning here in Southeast Kansas and Northeast Oklahoma.